If you're a man facing a divorce, you may be feeling kind of lost and confused.
Guys often have to work a little harder to be awarded primary custody. But when you're disadvantaged, you'll continue to be so unless you do what you can to help yourself.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell is quoted by the Wall Street Journal. Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Michigan attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in Troy, Ann Arbor, and Southfield.
Blog Talk Radio.
I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but it's a part of life.
And the radio might not want to play this record either.
But everybody has sex.
I know, but everybody should be making love.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
What's up, sports V's out there and V's After Dark Radio land? And you know what time it is when it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or wherever the hell you live it at around this world. It is now time for Ask Ms. V Sports here on V's After Dark Radio. I'm your host, the man himself, James Acevedo, along with the CEO of V's After Dark Radio and the co-host of this show and host of many other things on this show, like It's All About Sex, Sex, Sex and More Sex and a Bit of Black Bitch Show, I give you Miss V the Toilet.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hey. A lot of, there's actually a lot of football-related news. Well, it's shocking. It's mostly off the field. except for this. Well, if we last left you 2 nights ago. If you caught the ending of It's All About Sex, 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 and More Sex, we were listening live as we were listening from the office with her TV, the NBA draft. And if anybody didn't know by the way I sounded at the end, the Knicks had the fourth overall pick. Now, they were the second highest chance of getting the number one pick by about almost 20% to the Timberwolves, like 25%. And I guess those last two games that they won against the Hawks, I forgot what it was, the Hawks and some other team they should have lost to, damaged them. And I think on top of that, because they're the Knicks, they just, you know, screw it. We'll give you the number four pick. And we'll give the Lakers, who get everything, it doesn't matter. It's like every, when any era ends in L.A., there's always somebody else. So they figured, well, Kobe's going to retire soon. Let's give him the number two pick. I'm surprised they didn't get the number one pick, to be honest with you. Because I really thought that was going to happen. I totally forgot the Lakers were in this draft. I forgot how crappy they were. But they got the number two pick. The Sixers got number three. And number one got the Timberwolves. Now, it doesn't mean nothing because I ain't going to sit here and act like I know these players in college. I never, you know, I'm just saying it would have been nice to have at least, you know, if we got like the first two, that would have been fine. Number two, I would have been happy, you know. But it is what it is. We'll see what happens. The Knicks can't trade their pick until they draft somebody because you can't draft, you can't just, you know, I've got this some sort of rule that I think because they didn't have a pick last year or something like that or whatever the hell, you just can't trade the pick on its own. You have to at least draft somebody. And then if you want to trade the person you draft, after the fact, then that's a different story. But they can't just draft, trade the pick before the draft. So we'll see what happens and who knows? The bullshit continues, and yeah, who knows what's gonna happen? Yeah, it was not surprising. I'm surprised you get your fifth pick. The way it's going, but we will see. We will see. We'll see what happens. There's better players that have been taken in later rounds, so who knows? You know, I'm not gonna get all. You know, I was mad at it because you know, at least for once, for them to at least get. You know, I think it's fixed anyway. To be honest with you. Freaking Lakers number two. Anyway, enough of them.
Well, let's talk about Tom Shady.
Yes. Which part of this you want to get to? Because I heard Robert Kraft back down basically on his appeal. Gee, I wonder why. I have my assumption why, and it better not happen, but so, I have a feeling there was some deal made.
But according to Goodell, mm-hmm. you know, when he was talking about Tom Shady, mm-hmm. he said there will be, hold up. You are too nasty. Go away. Go see somebody. go get cleaned up. Sorry about that. I just had a messy child come near me. I was like, oh, hell no.
Go that way.
I don't do messy grown folks. I definitely can't do no messy children.
But you were saying.
But according to Goodell, there will be no breaks given to Tom Shady.
We will see.
And he will let the process go through, but he said he sticks by what he did, and he said that damn team he played for. Them saying they're not going to tell him, he was like, we disagree with a lot of things. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes we agree. He was like, you know, basically, I felt like I was listening to a politician. That's why I really can't remember what the hell he said, to be honest.
Because it was too much bullshit coming out of his mouth, that's why.
You know, because I felt like I was listening to Ron Paul or something. So I was, you know, so I heard it, but I didn't hear it.
Gotcha.
All I can say is that at the end of the day, you know, Tom Shady is Tom Shady. He could say he did nothing wrong. But actually, to me, it looks bad on him. And I'm going to say this, and I'm sure somebody will say, Ms. V, you're full of shit, whatever. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, it's not going to look good to him because they did say they weren't going to fight it. To me, that's an admission of guilt. You know,
mm-hmm.
if there was something to fight, you know, I think they would have fought, you know, $1 million is $1 million. I don't care who you are. I don't have $1 million to throw away. Therefore, you know, and even, you know, even when these players get fined these hundreds and thousands of dollars when they do dumb stuff, and $10,000 and $50,000, nobody has that type of money to throw away. I'm sorry to say it. Nobody has $1 million to just throw away, especially when you're talking about a company. Because companies are in this for profit. Let's remember, at the end of the day, even though the NFL is a nonprofit, the individual teams are for profit. That's why they are .coms and not .org. Therefore, they're in this to make money. So to say we're not going to fight it and we're going to give up this $1 million, that's because it would have cost them more to fight it. Because remember, they have to hire all these people. You know, just because they're on staff, attorneys, unlike anybody else, unless they work for a government entity, you know, be it a city government, county, or something where they're a salary employee and they don't get no bonuses. Every other attorney that's on retainer with a corporation or whatever, regardless of what their salary is, they also have somewhere in their contract like a hourly rate. And the reason being, you know, be it that their rate is that they get use of a company jet or whatever. There's something locked in there because their salary is not what's really carrying them. It's all the extras that they do. So you got to figure that they probably have 10 attorneys, and they probably went and talked to one of the 10 attorneys, and that attorney, be it male or female, said, you know what, we're going to lose if we fight it, but come on, let's go fight. They ain't like what that one said. And they probably went through four of them, and they kept saying, we're going to lose. And they said, you know what? Well, if we fight this, how much will it cost us?
Exactly.
And remember, if they lose in the fight, they have to pay the legal fees of the opposing party, even in the NFL. Therefore, when you look at it, is it really worth it? Do you want to lose $1 million now or possibly $6 million later?
Way more later, yeah.
You know, let's go on and lose $1 million now. And because, for one, you're guilty. You know,
bingo.
And they know what they did, because that BS about the deflator because somebody was losing weight.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah, and the reason why the equipment system was suspended because they were taking sneakers, whatever. No, you gave them that as a way of saying thank you for deflating the balls and whatever else they get out of the deal besides sneakers, probably signed jerseys or what they have you for them to sell because they don't make a lot of money.
You know what? No, but you know what? You know their family members got some nice tickets. Come on now. You know, they already get access to the game anyway.
True that.
But they got nicer access than they had before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
It's just, you know, all right, you know, they got suspended, but I hope that if they're smart, they don't just fire them because that'll just put more fuel to the fire because, oh, really, you're going to be the scapegoats? Okay. They'll bring out, they'll get some book deal and tell them what really happened, you know. So I would like to think that once they serve the suspension, just like Tom Brady, they'd be like, okay, they could come back. I would hope so.
Well, you know what? I think that they will have jobs in different capacities. That's all. They're going to be shuffled around. They're going to be compensated well for that.
Well, okay, well, that's the bottom line, because they need some hush-hush money, because if they
they're
don't...
They're going to be compensated.
Yeah, exactly. If they're stupid enough to fire them, that'll make it worse. That'd be very
I'm
stupid.
I'm sure that everybody has signed a confidentiality agreement
yes.
that is binding in the courtroom.
Yes,
therefore, you know...
Yeah, everything is fine, sealed, delivered, basically. Oh, yeah, you want to talk about hockey? Yeah.
Let's talk about hockey. It was a sad day in Detroit today.
Oh.
Mike Babcock, the coach of the Red Wings, has decided to go to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's bittersweet, but, you know, as I've been listening to our commentators, the general manager of the Red Wings, for the past couple of weeks, these two have been seen in public. They've been doing everything together. I mean, traveling, public appearances, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the Red Wings knew, and what they said, you know, the word in Detroit now is that why didn't the Red Wings force him to stay until the end of his contract and then tell him? Well, like they said, they came out, and they was like, we made a business decision, and he wanted to go. And why hold the gun to his head? For 10 years he's been here. I didn't realize he had been here 10 years,
damn.
Which is a long time.
Wow.
And he wasn't fired. Let's get this perfectly
clear.
Yeah,
how did that work out? How many years did he have in his contract or whatever?
No, his contract was over. His contract
The contract is up. Okay, so he was basically a free agent.
His contract ends June 30th.
Okay, so he basically was open.
And they had an option.
Okay.
He was offered
an option.
The general manager said, I don't see holding on to a coach that's been here 10 years for additional five. So I think they offered him like a 3-year extension on his contract. And he was like, you know, let me go filler. And they gave him permission to go talk to other teams. Let's get this clear. You know, everybody in Detroit has known that he was talking to other teams.
Okay.
You know, he's from Toronto. He took the Canadians to 2 gold cups in the Olympics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he's 50 years old. He's still got time. But at the end of the day, even though Toronto is a shitty team, let's keep it clear, he did go for the money because guess what? He's like the Dominican Sue of hockey.
Oh, wow.
He is the highest paid coach in the NHL with this contract.
Wow.
No, it doesn't compare to NFL contracts, but $50 million over 8 years. I mean, not bad for somebody who coaches a team. I mean, the whole thing is that, like they said, that he's been here 10 years, and they said after a while, even when a person's been around for a while, the players kind of start tuning you out, not because you're bad, but remember, every single year that he was in Detroit, we went to the playoffs and we got a Stanley Cup with him. So he didn't do a bad job. You know, we might not have gone as far in the playoffs that we'd like to go, but remember, this is a city, like they said locally, that if we didn't make it to the playoffs, they would have been yelling to fire him. You know, that's how, you know.
But they made the playoffs every year with him.
It is expected the Red Wings go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Not maybe they'll make it. It is expected. You know, and even before he came on board, you know, we had Scotty Bowman. and the Red Wings were doing good. So we're not talking about a team that has really had a big down spot, you know, as far as where you ain't heard from them. The Red Wings has really stayed on their game. And they said it's just time for a new era and coach, and they already have their new coach in mind. And this is why it was really easy, okay? They already know who they're hiring.
Is it?
You ready for this?
Okay, before you say it, is it because I'm reading in the Detroit Free Press here, well, the assistant coach of the Red Wings wants to be the head coach, Jeff Blazo.
The former assistant coach. He is currently the coach of another hockey team, but he's still part of the NHL. You know how we have AAA baseball for baseball. Hockey has, like, their AAA league, and he stayed with it. He's still part of the Red Wings organization, but he's on their AAA team. He's the coach of that team, and he's always made it clear that he wanted to coach in the National Hockey League.
Okay.
So, yes, that's exactly who it's going to be. He is number one on their list, and I don't see him turning it down.
Mm.
He has worked with the – he's already worked with the team. He knows the team,
yep.
And he's a Michigan native. You know, so.
And that's what I'm reading here.
But you know what? It's a good departure. You know, nobody here is really upset. You know, they're not calling him a sellout, you know, unlike we did. You know. Sue did do it for the money, but see, unlike Sue, Babcock never said it's not about the money. He never talked about the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sue said this wasn't about the money. Anytime you say it's not about the money,
it's about the money.
But with Babcock, he is Canadian, and he's wanted to go home. You know, the Maple Leafs are his team. He's the Canadian Olympic coach. You know, so it's not like that this is something foreign to him, you know. And at the end of the day, like we've all said, and I'll say it too, you know, it's sad to see him leave, but at least he's leaving on good terms, you know. Do we want to see him when we play the Maple Leafs? No, but I mean, that's what anybody, you kick their ass when you see him. But as far as seeing him on the street and saying, hey, how you doing? You know, it's going to, because it was done on mutual ground and it was done with respect. Unlike that shit that Stu did, you know, going to Miami the way he did it. And
gotcha.
I think that's why it's a bittersweet, you know, because everybody knew Stu was leaving. But the way he did it, he made it seem like the Lions were pussies and they were this. When at the end of the day, it really was the money for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what the Lions offered him, no, it wasn't what Miami offered him, but it wasn't no shitty amount either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and considering that Ndamukong Suh is now the highest paid, defensive person in the NFL, you know, he better live up to his name, because it's not like Miami has a fucking good team. Let's keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did not go to a team that was on the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, we will see with the Dolphins, and we will see with this gentleman.
And we know that I'm not, I know everybody say, oh, you dogging out Sue. Remember, I've never been a Sue fan. Let's get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody who tries to say I'm dogging him out, I've never been on the Sue bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
I love Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, we all know that.
I just make it clear, you know, let's keep it clear.
Yes.
I am on the Calvin Johnson bandwagon.
That's,
you know,
true.
Even though he's engaged to get married, I mean, I'm still on that bandwagon. You know, if he needs a side piece, I'm still available.
Let's make that clear. Put that there.
But I wish him and his fiance all the best, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the Sue bandwagon, I've never been a big Sue fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at the end of the day, if he would have stayed another year, he would have been a detriment to the Lions. I mean, the dirty player stuff and everything. But his life off of the football field was also a problem. You know, even though he was trying to clean it up, you can only grow with somebody so long before you say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, it was like, damn, are they raising this boy or what?
Yeah, right.
You know, because the stuff that he was doing off the field, even though he wasn't shooting nobody, you know, he just has a horrible temper.
Yes, he does.
He has a horrible temper.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that Miami will be able to deal with that, because that's the one thing that Detroit could not deal with, with that temper of his.
That's right.
You know?
He's due for another blow-up. I think that's why they were like, well, you know, screw that. We offered, you know, what we could offer him, and we ain't going to go a dollar more on him. You know,
yeah, gonna... like I said, you know, yeah, he's a good player. I'm not knocking his ability. But it's only so much you can do when you got somebody like that, you know.
Yeah, deal with
and first of all, we done fucking pandered fucking Matthew Stafford. If his ass don't do a fucking better job, I'm about ready to kill him. I'm not a big Stafford fan either. Let's keep it clear. I'm not a big Stafford fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everybody knows that the quarterback is what makes your team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your ass is throwing motherfucking interceptions,
yeah, it ain't going to work. You ain't going to be your quarterback too long in the NFL. Keep doing that.
I mean, he has grown and gotten better, but I'm still, you know, I don't hate him. Let's get it clear.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, I guess because we don't have enough good players, and we don't have another Barry Sanders or another Barry Sanders, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
True.
You know, Lawrence Taylor or Peyton. You know, we don't have any of that. You know, we don't have that quality of players out there now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. True that.
The Tigers almost blew it today.
Don't worry.
Oh, keyword almost. So, you know, I can't watch the Tigers right now because they're pissing me the fuck off. I don't know where the hell Verlander is. And I'm about ready to go kick Tate Upton's ass. I'm going to go find that little young bitch. She's legal now. You know, she's 21. But you know what? I'm not ready to go sack that bitch, because I'm going to tell her, you know, you're a supermodel. Your skills are supposed to be able to suck real dick real good, and something's wrong, because he's been injured all year, and I'm tired of this shit. Either go find him a new woman or get up off his dick for a while. You know, that's all I got to say. You know, I'm tired of this
life
bitch.
Out of him.
I'm tired of this bitch. You know, she's like kryptonite. I swear this bitch is kryptonite.
Yeah, well.
And I'm just having issues with her. I think she's a cute girl. Let's get that real. But this bitch is kryptonite.
Yeah. And that sometimes some of these players, they get that certain woman and it affects them, you know, and not in a good way. You know, they get bad karma. All of a sudden, they get injury prone and don't, you know, perform as well for a lot of reasons. So, well, they're two games out. They're 25-17. Your Tigers. They're right up on the pace from the defending American League champions, the Royals. So, I wouldn't worry too much with them, but they do need Verlander if they want to go over the top, because he's definitely one of their main guys when he's on. He's their ace. He's their real ace. You know, that's Price.
Like I said, I'm going to beat that bitch ass. I'm tired of that bitch.
But then at one point, didn't they break up briefly and then they got back together?
Yeah, they're a weird couple.
Yeah,
and then I've got some Pistons news here. I'm just going to read the headline, because let's get something clear.
Yeah.
As much as I love my Pistons.
So besides them getting that number 8th overall pick, there's more news for the Pistons?
This is the article they got.
Okay.
For anybody who don't, I have a newspaper in front of me. And I did it delivered. Remember I told you? Damn, I got shit up. Shit. Damn.
Let's go.
Goddamn, Hickok.
Uh-oh. Oh, you got
okay. Now, Jeff Bauer is the general manager of the Pistons.
All right.
Don't know who the fuck he is.
Me either.
Don't care.
Me either.
But the headline is, for Bauer, draft starting to be fun. GM foresees no problem getting prospects to visit team. Really? He must be. I'm trying to figure out what Pistons team he's talking about. Now, I'm sorry. I don't play basketball. I did years and years and years ago. But even if I were in the WNBA, I would not look at the fucking Pistons, okay? I'm just saying. I want to know what team, who does he think is going to look? I think that the people who are going to look at the team are the shitty. Well, let's, anybody in college is playing better than the Pistons right now, so I'm not going to say shitty college players because they're all playing better than the Pistons. But you're not going to get a star basketball player to come to the Pistons because we have a shitty team. So I want to know what team he's looking at and who do he think. Yeah, he's right. He's not going to have a problem having people look at the team. But come on now. Who is he going to get to actually come? He ain't getting Kobe to leave L.A.
Not Kobe, 08.
He ain't getting LeBron. I'm just saying he ain't getting LeBron to leave Cleveland.
No, no way that ain't going to happen.
But who's Carmelo Anthony ain't leaving where he at.
Yeah, he's a no trade clause on top of that, so that ain't gonna happen. He
ain't
no way going to Detroit.
But I'm just saying, seriously, who does he think is looking at the team? I'm just curious.
Yeah, maybe he's been sniffing the white lines lately. I don't know. He's doing some very elusive type of drugs because either that or he's just way too optimistic. Way too optimistic.
Like I said, I want to know who the hell he. I just want to know.
What does he know that we don't know?
Anybody who's listening, if you know something that we don't know about the Pistons, let me know. I'm open. You know,
646-716-8041.
Because I just don't comprehend. I'm going to keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out what team they're looking at and who they think that they're going to get. Because, like I said, even if I were a female basketball player in the WNBA, the Detroit Pistons would not be who I would be looking at.
No.
You know?
No,
I'm having a problem with this. I'm just being honest. I'm having a problem with this.
He's just doing that political, you know, just that type of talk, you know. Oh yeah, you know, he'll be fine. Da da da. The diplomatic type of approach, you know. That's all that is.
I don't know what approach that is, because I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I ain't feeling it. At all.
Well, the closest to the truth, he could have said, well, we have a lot of work to do. If you at least say that, at least that's more real realistic. You have a lot
all
of work
I can
to
say.
Do.
All I can say. All I can say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what this is saying. Somebody let me know which Pistons team, please. I know, and let's get it clear, what the Detroit Pistons are.
Mm-hmm.
But we ain't got nobody but Chauncey Billups. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, they'd rather go to the Knicks, these free agents. That's saying a lot, than go to the Pistons. That tells you a lot. So, you know, they're not going, you know, no. They're going to have to really build from within for at least the next few years. You know,
I'm just trying to figure out. And you don't normally hear me at a loss for words, but I'm really at a loss for words. That's all.
Yes,
I
you are.
Is what Pistons team? You know, I can't sit here and talk about how they play because they really don't play. And I can't comment on players because they have nobody I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to say, oh, next year we're going to be, you know what, we're going to come and do it. I can't. You know, I can't form my lips to say that. Because then I would have to actually act like I know who's on that team. And I don't. I'm lost.
Lost for words and lost for what the hell he's looking at.
I have no clue. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to figure it out. I mean.
Well, I mean, the realistic thing is, you know, basketball is one of the hardest sports to rebuild a team. It's not like football where you could practically do it almost overnight because everybody is kind of equal. It's like a communist type of league, you know, with football. There's nobody one above the other because they all share revenue. Everybody shares revenue, the TV and all that stuff. So, you know, mostly, unless you're the Jaguars, you usually are going to be somewhat decent. You may be guaranteed at least 6 to 8 wins a year if you're lucky. But basketball is really hard to build a team. It really is because there's no in-between. You never hear no Cinderella team in the NBA win a championship. It's not like baseball or hockey or, you know, or even that's another sport I'm looking at. Football. Yeah, I said football. But basketball, usually the best team usually wins, or at least they're always in the final 2 or 4. You know, they're always in the conference finals or the, you know, which makes it boring because it's like, well, you know, how about a team come out of nowhere to win? You know, at least hockey, you got a hot goalie, you could go far. In baseball, you have hot pitching staff, you can go far. Even football, especially recently, if you get hot, you know, look at the Giants twice. The Packers did it another year where they got hot and they were all injured. So basketball can't do that. Now, maybe the Cavaliers would be different because they've been banged up. You know, Kevin Love is gone for the whole playoffs because of his dislocated shoulder. Kyrie Irving is not 100% with his knee. LeBron's actually doing real well, putting the team on his back, along with former Nick J.R. Smith, what makes me want to throw up that J.R. Smith is playing lights out, which I hate players that want to play when they feel like to play. That really pisses me off. It's like, you know, people who have talent, and you know, in sports and only want to use it when they feel like it, but they have their head up their ass when it comes to trying to fuck Rihanna or something when they were on the Knicks. They're going to clubs every 2 seconds. You know, the priorities were all fucked up. You know, it amazes me when certain players have that much talent and if they would just get their head out their ass and, you know, everything would come to them anyway. If you win, all the good shit happen anyways. I don't know. It just, you know, it fascinates me. People who have very, you know, who have talent that we don't have as far as shooting a basketball and actually playing very good to be part of the NBA, just do it when you feel like it because you have guaranteed money, which is the problem, because when you have guaranteed money, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's playing well too, not only because he's on a championship team, but he's looking for that next contract. And then once he gets that next contract, then he could be his dumbass self again and act like an idiot, like he did with the series from the Celtics, getting himself ejected.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, so like I said, I'm lost for fucking words. I mean, I can't. I'm not going to try to.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, I can't.
Well, I've been going back to the ice real quick. I've been watching hockey a little more recently only because the Rangers are in the Eastern Conference Finals. The last two games they've lost. Last night was a close game. It went to overtime. They lost 6-5. But Hendrick, you know, a great goalie. You know, he's given up 12 goals in the last two games, not doing real well. The Lightning has been living up to their name. They've been sprinting up and down the ice, basically taking advantage of when the Rangers miss wide open shots and get the rebound and just zoom down the ice and score. So they're down 2-1. The Rangers always do like shit the hard way. They, God forbid, they take a 2-game lead. I mean, they were up at 1.2-0. I mean, they scored right away within not even 20 seconds of the first period. And then they scored again, made it 2-0. That first period alone was long as hell. I think after one period, I think it was like 3-2 or some shit. It was like, oh, 2-1. It was like a real offensive game, which is interesting. But, you know, if Lundqvist doesn't get to his old self where he only gives up a goal or less, they're not going to win. Because they're not the Rangers are not the type of team to really score a lot of points, you know, goals. And the Lightning is the type of team that do. And for what I did in my research, where I heard, the Rangers didn't fare well against them this season. They were 3-0 during the season. A great season where they won the President's Trophy, mind you. So this team might have their number. And more importantly, they might have King Lundqvist's number. And if they have his number, game over for the Rangers. There's only so many times you can come back 3-1 like they did the last series against the Capitals and then last year against the Penguins. There's only so many times you can do that because that's a very mentally and physically exhausting thing to do. I don't care who you are. That's very exhausting, okay? It's a great accomplishment.
It's hard to do.
Yes.
Very hard to do. And it puts a lot on you. It puts a lot on the entire team to keep doing
absolutely.
That. I mean, it's like so much you could take.
Especially the goalie. You know what I mean? Especially the goalie. So they had to. They better win tomorrow. They'll win tomorrow. I don't see them coming back against them 3-1 like they did with the Capitals. I'm telling you right now. That's not going to happen. And the Ducks and the Blackhawks in the Western Conference, I know they went through, what was that, 3 overtime games the other night? And I forgot who was the guy on the Blackhawks, but there was a guy who tried to headbutt the puck into the net of the Ducks.
Oh, wow.
And he was acting like, yeah, I scored. Like, wait, that's against the rules, my man. You can't use your hand, your head, your foot. Now, if someone slaps the puck and you have to be in the way of the puck and it bounces off your foot and go in, that's different. But you can't physically
touch it. Yeah, but you know what? See,
you know.
Thought he was playing soccer. I didn't see the game, but I didn't hear.
I saw the highlight.
I'm just not hearing it. I'm just not hearing this from you. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Okay, don't nobody call me talking about Mr. You full of shit. This is what really happened. This is the misery scenario. You know, hockey and soccer are the same thing, except one you use a stick and the other one you don't. One uses a ball, one uses a puck.
And one uses the head, and you can't use and your legs.
Right, and one uses the head, and the other one doesn't. So what he had was a little, you know, hockey players get beat up a lot. And, you know, he might have a hair, you know, a concussion or something, and he might have forgot that he was on the ice and thought the puck was a soccer ball and went to hit it in. I'm just telling you, that's what really happened, okay? That's what really happened.
I forgot the guy's name. You know, these, especially with most of these hockey players where they're mostly French-Canadian or Russian, they have these weird fucked-up names. Their last name could be basically like door, and it'd be like Dwyer, you know. It's so normal, but it's pronounced Fleecy's for Fool, you know. Like, what the hell?
But I'm just telling y'all, no, that's what really happened. I know y'all said that I know too much about sports, but that's, I'm telling you, that's what happened. He just forgot which sport he was playing because, see, a good hockey player is also a good soccer player. Therefore, you know, he made a mistake. I mean,
hey, he tried. You know, he's like, fuck it, let's see what happens. Now, he claimed that he didn't know that you couldn't do that. That's what he claimed. He thought, I'm just saying, I'm telling you what I heard, for real. And then, come on, like, you ever seen in your life, not that I watch hockey a lot, but I've never seen nothing like that in my life, where someone used their head like a soccer, you know, used a hockey puck as a soccer ball to headbutt the freaking puck in the net. Nice try, though. Hey. You know, why not? So, shit, I want to win.
I'm telling you, he forgot what sport he was playing. I'm telling you, that's really what happened. I am his publicist. This is what really happened.
I know you come up with a better excuse than what the Patriots did. Well, deflate meant, you know, we had a guy in the locker room we called Deflate because he was going through a weight program. Like, get the fuck out of here. I could have come up with a better fucking lie. And that lawyer got paid for that, to make up that lie? Jesus Christ, you're dumb. Boy, that's free.
Hire me.
My God.
Hire me.
Yeah. That's the easiest money ever made. It's like,
hire me. I got one better for you.
Good.
When it comes down to the deflating, You guys are mistaken. I felt like it because the temperature, you know, when it gets cold outside, it sucks the air out of things. And that's what really happened to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We did not touch them.
Yeah, but that's better than saying, well, in the text.
Didn't I just say,
you know what I'm saying?
Didn't I just say they should hire me?
Yeah, but that makes...
I can blame it on the temperature.
Yeah, just blame it, yeah. Blame it on the rain. Blame it on something. But don't say, well, the terminology used in those texts with the deflator, oh, that was this guy. We made a joke. Me and Bob talked about this, and the guy was going through a weight loss program, and we called him the deflator. Yuck, 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 yuck. Yeah, okay. What dumb ass going to, well, there are dumb people, unfortunately. But, you know, not
like
intelligent people.
Like I said, y'all not listening to me. The balls were not deflated.
Period.
The weather.
Yeah.
Because you know that the playoffs were during cold weather.
Yeah.
And you know, Denver is a mile high city.
No,
and you know Colorado.
But that was in New England, though, Ms. V. They played in New England. But it was bad weather. It wasn't New England. It wasn't Denver.
Can I keep my life straight? remember, Denver is a mile high city.
Well,
that's where the translation goes all the way over the country.
Well, now we just proven that you don't need to take geography course to learn to get a lawyer's license. That is proven that. Excuse me. But, you know, well, we'll see. We're going back to that bullshit. I just don't, because I know the NFL Players Association wants Roger Goodell to be not part of this mediator thing. They want someone else to, as far as Tom Brady's case. And I'm like, you know, shut up. And Roger Goodell should...
First of all, he's best friends with Tom Brady. I mean, that's his voice. And when your boy gives you four, I don't see him going no lower.
He better not.
I'm just saying,
he better not. I better not, because, you know, we went through over more than a year with bullshit that he has fucked up. Decision-wise, big time. All right? You stand by it, and that's it. You don't like it tough. That's the way it is. You know?
I'm just saying.
And Tom Brady should have done, he should have been smart and said, all right, you know what? Yeah, I did it. I just didn't know it was going to be, you know, it was going to affect it that much. You know, at least do something where it would have been like, you know, I take my responsibility as a man. I'm sorry. Blah, blah, blah. No, he's fighting against this shit. Because he feels that Roger Goodell's soft because of what happened for the past year with everything that's happened. He flip-flops Roger Goodell. So he figured, well, we're buddies. So why can't I? I could appeal this. And he'll change his mind and lower it to 2 games, 1 game, or just a little fine. That's it. But I'm telling you, he got other owners that are on him, on Goodell. Say, listen, you better do the right thing because we're tired of Patriots bullshit. So do not lessen the penalty. Because then it goes to show what we thought all along. Oh, they're above the law. They are above the law, but we're not. The law applies to everybody but the Patriots. So he better not. He better stick to his guns. That's all I got to say. That's why I was kind of concerned about this Robert Kraft basically backing down a little bit. Because I go, wait a minute. What was said between them that made him change his mind? You know what I mean? I'm just saying. But hopefully I'm wrong.
I told you his attorneys told him he's going to lose.
I mean, there's a lot to lose, but if you're that innocent, no amount is enough. No amount is high if you're that innocent. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me put this in a real context that maybe the rest of the country can understand. Takata voters, airbag fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
We're not recalling airbags. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
33 million airbags. It's going to take 2 years to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
But they wasn't going to do it at first. You know why? Because it was cheaper to go in and replace them than to pay that $12,000 a day fine or $50,000 a day fine that's imposed on them.
Mm-hmm.
They had already gone through almost 2 months of that fine. And like I said, it's not like $5 a day. It was some thousands of dollars. I want to say it was either $12,000 or $50,000 a day.
mm-hmm.
for not complying.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you got to say no mas and give it the fuck up because when they said, okay, we're going to do it, we're going to do what y'all say do, NHTSA came back and said, okay, we're going to freeze your fine until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make you pay it. Even though they could have, considering they said it's going to take 2 years. 2 years. Do you know how many 1 in 4 cars are affected by that? So when you look at that and you compare that to the Patriots, I mean, come on. Sometimes you got to say no mas. I mean, you sat there, you did your grandstand and you said you were going to fight this because it wasn't true. You showed that you had a pair of balls down there. And then you came back a week later and, you know, after your attorney took one of your balls and told you, you want to keep the other one? Because
mm-hmm.
we got this one. It's ours. We're not giving it back.
Mm-hmm.
Man up. Or you're mm-hmm. not going to have no ball. So, you know, he had to weigh the odds. I mean, you know one of his balls is gone.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pair when he said, this isn't true. We're going to fight it. The attorneys got a hold of him, and they said, we're taking the left one. And they took the damn ball and told him,
mm-hmm.
If you don't want us to take the right one, you better do the right fucking thing because we're telling you, we're going to be taking the other ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to be talking with a high-pitched voice trying to explain to everybody why you're talking all high all of a sudden because you ain't got no balls.
Mm-hmm.
I know y'all. I know they said, how the hell did she throw sex up in there so quick?
Well, a little bit of sex.
Hey. But it was a good analogy, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was. Now, going to this, the NFL ownerships, you know, owners approved to this new rule change as far as the point after now is going to be at the 15-yard line, and there's changes in the two-point conversion where, I mean, you still get the ball at the two, but if the defense actually gets a turnover during that two-point conversion, and I think if they go run it back the other way, they automatically get 2 points like a safety or something like that.
I haven't paid attention to them because they bore me.
Why? These billionaires are just trying to kill the golden goose. Why are you, every year, there's always some shit they want to change. Why? You know, the goalpost,
you know,
all this shit. They always
I miss the touchdown dances. Come on now.
Yeah, that's stupid. No, it's all full flag.
I miss the touchdown celebration. I saw nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
that's how we got the Iggy Shuffle. You know, we got some good dances out of that. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's stupid. You know, it's football. So what? So stop them from scoring.
Remember the guy from the Lions, what's his name? The guy, the new host of the Tonight Show. Jimmy Fallon. Remember, Jimmy Fallon went out this past season and said, whoever does, remember him and Will Smith did that dance-off thing
mm-hmm.
with all the different dances? And he said, whoever in the NFL does this when they make a touchdown, I will pay their fine. And the guy from the Lions did it. And he paid his fine that he got. Because you know he wasn't supposed to do it. He paid the fine for him.
It's just stupid. It's, you know.
Fun to see it. I mean, and the guy did it so quick, I didn't even realize he did it.
Yeah, it's just dumb. It's unsportsmanlike conduct. The hell?
Unsportsmanlike is if I get up in your face and say, see, motherfucker,
exactly.
That's
unsportsmanlike. Yeah, exactly. That's not unsportsmanlike.
Doing a dance in the end zone. Like I said.
Like trying to take away the fun, just like they always said all these years, the NFL stands for the no fun league.
Like I said, I don't like it.
Yeah, and you know, and then you want to make it worse. Like, you can't touch the quarterback. If you sneeze on the quarterback, that's roughing the passer. Jesus Christ. I mean, I know because of the concussion and, you know, all the lawsuits and shit like that. Oh, speaking of lawsuits, by the way, I heard this today. Hundreds of ex-players of the NFL want to sue the NFL for pushing painkillers on them. Now, I'm sorry. I've been shitting on the NFL.
That sounds kind of... That sounds
you know how stupid that is.
I'm not trying to be.
Come on.
Okay, first of all, they're pushing painkillers on them. Okay, I got to grow a pair of balls real quick.
Hmm.
You motherfucking pussies. Let's get some shit clear. I'm a woman. I have given birth to two children with no painkillers. And nobody can force painkillers on you, okay?
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
You can sit here and say what you want, but no one can sit on you. And considering you motherfuckers play on sprained ankles and fractured shit all the time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
willingly, I don't buy into anybody forcing you to take painkillers because painkillers really don't kill the pain unless your ass is on Valium, the
mm-hmm.
Tylenol 4s and 5s, and then you're not functioning. So explain to me what the fuck you're really talking about. Because I'm just being real, as a person who's given birth to two children, I also am a athlete. So even though I don't look like it right now, me and Shamu are comparing dress sizes. But before I start comparing dress sizes with Shamu, which I will not be comparing them much longer, I know what injuries do. And, I mean, I've ran marathons, and they have first aid people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is saying you got to take a painkiller. You have to ask for it. And
mm-hmm.
let's get something clear. I don't know what world you're in, but for as much money as your bitch ass makes, unless your ass can prove that you've gotten, what is it that, which one of them is a Tylenol that messes with your liver or whatever?
Oh.
Now, if you start showing me a bunch of people with these liver problems,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's Tylenol, and somebody correct me on which drug it is. It's one of the drugs. It's one of the painkillers
mm-hmm.
that messes with your liver, but that's only if you take it, like, by the fucking handfuls, like fucking Jolly Ranchers or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
like, yeah, Flintstone chewables and shit. That's so stupid. It's like, well, you know what you're getting into when you're playing NFL. And you know, come on, that's ridiculous. Like another way of trying, you know, because you're in a game where it's very, you know, it's very barbaric. It's a barbaric sport, no doubt about it. But you know what you're getting into. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm gonna say, and I'm ready for my lawsuit. I ain't got shit for you to get, so come on and sue, baby. What it boils down to is a bunch of broke motherfuckers who mismanaged
yep.
their money and now they're looking for some more money.
That's right.
Because they mismanaged the money that they made. Poor management, poor investments, or just set out trying to take care of everybody
mm-hmm.
and did not put anything away preparing for a time when they would not be able to work and they would not have the income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I foresee going on. And since I have not named names, someone can sit there and say, Ms. V said this person, because I don't know who all is in the lawsuit, but this is my perception, because a lot of pro athletes and even musicians, for whatever reason, when the money is gone or when you're no longer doing that particular career, you don't prepare for it. It's just like when you have a 9-to-5 job, you have to prepare for your future. At
yeah.
the end of the day, you have to prepare for it, which means you have to prepare for the money woes and everything else to go with it. You have to put money to the side. You have to invest wisely. That's why a lot of people, even though self-employed people will set up their own IRA account. Why?
Mm.
So that when they're no longer running their businesses and, you know, they're not running a Walmart or a GM or whatever, they have that money coming in.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes those 401ks are nothing. Better off you doing your own thing, your own investment.
I'm just saying, but you know.
Mm. You know, and I know there's I know they don't have pensions in the NFL, which is a disgrace. They should have some sort of pension, considering that you're lucky to be in the NFL for 5 years, if you're lucky. The average is probably even less than that. It's probably 2-3 years if, on average. So I'm just saying. But
I'm going to say the reason why. I can understand why they don't have a pension. Because the amount of money they make in 5 years is probably more money than the majority of us will make in a lifetime.
Well,
therefore,
more
than that's why they have the investment. I mean, come on now. I'm not a big fan of the NFL, but I'm going to have to back them up a little bit. When these kids and gentlemen go into the NFL, they do give them access to the best financial advisors and people around. They don't go in there blindly, and they actually, and this is what I've heard from people who are in the NFL, because I have friends who work with the Lions with their charity stuff, and they said, these kids don't come in blindly. This is what the NFL does. The NFL, when they bring them in, they give them an education class on it. So what we see, we hear about rookie camp, but we don't hear about the classes that they go through and the financial advising and the people that they're getting access to. You can only lead a horse in water. You can't make the motherfucker drink it. And what's going on is that you've got these young boys that are coming in. The NFL is giving them access to financial advisors and the proper people, people who are experts in their field. People who are not going to rip them off. But you got, I'm hearing it sounds so stereotypical, but you got Pookie Bear Collins over here, man. I'm going to be your manager. You know, we grew up, I got this, and you ripping, and this person is ripping off the money and not managing it. And when at the end of the day, this person knows shit about money management. They are a wannabe whatever, and but this is your manager. This is who you're doing your negotiations. But this person has no clue on getting your bills paid or anything, and this is where the mistake comes in. They're trusting accountants and stuff to pay bills without saying, hey, how much is in the bank? What's going on? You know, those of us who have had to work for a living, I could tell you, well, I can't tell you exactly how much I have in the bank. But it's not because I don't want to know. It's because I just haven't taken the time because I have different accounts. But the whole thing, what I'm saying, at the end of the day, they all they know is that they got a credit card. And that's what they're using. Or they're taking money out the bank. As much as I don't particularly care for Floyd Mayweather, he's an excellent money man because he knows how much money he has. Yes, he walks around with a lot of cash, but he's a damn good investor. LeBron James, excellent businessman. You know, he listens. And Damakus, too, I can't stand his ass. But money-wise, he's a damn good investor because he owns different things that people don't know he owns, you know, that are not public. So these are things where when you listen, the NFL doesn't bring in these kids and say, hey, here's your contract, here's your check, this is what we're going to do. They have different things set up for them and make available to them. And if they don't choose to do it, the NFL can't make them do it. You know, I'm related by marriage to a former NFL player who has since passed from the 1950s and 60s. And I can tell you, he lived very well up until he passed away. And when I say that he lived very well, I mean, he was able when my family member, I want to say who it is because then people know who it is. But when this family member got married to his son, he bought them a house. Okay? And this was in the 70s. Paid for. And was still living comfortably. And he was paying alimony to his ex-wife.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Damn.
He had more than
So when I say that, you know, I've seen firsthand that side of it. Now, I never got a chance to pick his brain because, for one, I was too young to understand about picking brains and stuff like that. But just from what I saw, and this man did not die a pauper by no means. You know, he, you know, when he passed away, as a matter of fact, it was on CNN, and we all sitting around like, are we going to the funeral? And I was like, I ain't going. There's going to be too many damn cameras there. And I was, we were being honest about that because, you know, for us, it was a family member. The NFL teaches these guys. The NFL gives them access. So for them not to have a pension, I don't blame the NFL on that because a pension will only carry you so far. And how do you set up a pension when the average U.S. company, I can't speak for no company but in the U.S., the average U.S. company, in order to draw a pension, you have to have 10 years in. You have to be vested. In order to draw alimony, you have to be married 10 years in a marriage. Why should NFL or pro players be any different than the rest of the country? You're saying that they should have the exception where they have a pension, but if you don't work 10 years someplace, you don't have a pension. You don't have shit. So why should they do 5 years and get one? When they're being afforded things that we were never afforded, when they got the best financial advisors and all this afforded to them, and they're told about it, and they choose not to do stuff. I don't feel sorry for him.
No, well, that's because the entertainment is a different, is not reality. That's what it is, and the entertainment is looked at differently than it is in real life.
And I mean, let's look at it. Look at Magic Johnson. As a matter of fact, look at all the players from the 80s. Let's just look at basketball players and football players from the 80s. You don't really hear about them being destitute. We're not a Charles Barkley fans, but that motherfucker is working. You know.
Yeah, he's good. He's there.
But I'm just saying, you know. So, I mean, I understand your point on saying they should have a pension, but my point is if you're going to invest your money there, a pension ain't going to change that.
Yeah, well, they're their own worst enemy because the current players don't even think about that because, like you said, they're young dudes. They have money thrown at them and everything else thrown at them, so they're not even thinking of that until they're washed up and, uh-oh, now reality sets in and, oh, too late. That's the problem. You need to have the right kind of people around you to keep you, you're like, hey, you know, put this aside, you know, do this, do that, you know. Unfortunately, and you, like you said, they do are informed and schooled not only about investments and stuff, but how to behave, believe it or not. I know that sounds... I know people out there like, what? I say, yes.
I'm not out there like, what, but I know.
They just don't give a crap about that. I mean, they're given, if they're ever drunk or whatever, they're forever given free rides. But because they drive a nice big Escalade and you know, they want to look cool and shit, they'd rather look cool and crash into a pole in the Escalade than go into some sort of town car to be taken to their next destination. That's why you hear shit like in the news, well, dumbass, you know, went in his car and, you know, killed his teammate in the passenger seat because dumbass wanted to do Fast and Furious in the fucking expressway, you know.
But look at it. You don't hear about Adrian Peterson doing stuff because a lot of times when you see these players and they do show them on TV, you know, our time is actual up. But when they show them, the ones who actually have the common sense are always have a driver. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well,
the ones that we hear about are really...
Because
Adrian Peterson, all we've heard about him is him being his child's ass, which I fully agree with that. I mean, hell.
Yeah, me too. That was bullshit. We all know. Bullshit. Dumb thing. Too bad we ran out of time because I heard this news that, which I had no problem with, by the way, that Ray Rice had domestic violence charges against him dismissed because he completed his pretrial intervention program. So
that's nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's nice. She still looks like Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, she's dancing. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Yeah. You know, I would let her yell at me and go, okay, bye. I can be able to something better than you anyway. Anyway.
She must have sucked it through a doggone water hole.
It has to be. It got to be. He sucked her balls through a tennis racket.
I'm telling you, she must have golf ball skills. I'm telling you.
It has to
be. You know, when you can suck a golf ball through a doggone water hole, you got skills.
Yeah, you got
skills. That I don't have. So I know she got to have a skill. But, you know what, well, we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
That's right. Believe it or not, this is not a late April Fool's joke. We are taking off next week. I know you heard this all last summer, but this is for real. It's for real now. So you won't hear from us until the following Tuesday.
As a matter of fact, we don't even have anything. I haven't programmed anything. I'll probably be doing programming this weekend.
See, but, now you know it's for real. Because Ms. V likes to program 2-3 weeks ahead.
Yes, and I haven't programmed anything.
So it's for real now.
We have nothing programmed.
No jokes. I don't hear nothing on Twitter saying, "Oh, where is it's all about sex, sex, and more sex." Well, we told you asses. We're taking off for the week. Pay attention. Taking off for the week. We'll be back the following Tuesday after this coming.
Yep. Because this week is the week of Memorial Day, so everybody have a good Memorial Day. Don't drink and drive.
And my fellow veteran, for one veteran to another, I salute you, my dear.
I was going to say the same to you, you know. So everybody have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yes, and
bye-bye.
Happy barbecuing. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody. Later.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. Not long ago, we celebrated our 25th anniversary as a firm dedicated to, as many of you have heard, helping guys through one of the most difficult and crucial times in their lives. And though I'm proud of our growth, I'm most proud of the values that are the foundation of our success. The fact is, we're proud to be the partner that guys can count on when the partner they hope for let them down.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Michigan attorneys online at CordellCordell.com.
If you're a man facing a divorce, you may be feeling kind of lost and confused.
Guys often have to work a little harder to be awarded primary custody. But when you're disadvantaged, you'll continue to be so unless you do what you can to help yourself.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell is quoted by the Wall Street Journal.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Michigan attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in Troy, Ann Arbor, and Southfield.